So the topic of our research is the relationship between website ratings of internists and see how they're related to quality of care measures for patients with diabetes or hypertension. So this has that fun. How many people in the audience have gone on the web and searched for their doctor to see what their review was? So a few people. Have you ever wondered what those stars actually mean on the websites? Well, that's actually fundamentally the research question that we address in our study. And to do that, we mimic a scenario where a patient with hypertension or diabetes goes to the web and goes to Google and tries to find the review of a doctor that they're interested in. So why do we pick that population? Well, there's two reasons. One reason is that diabetics and hypertension patients are a large source of mortality and morbidity in the U.S., and they contribute greatly to healthcare costs. And just as importantly, we have really good quality of care data for a group of these patients. So applying the data we gathered through those internet searches and our own source of quality measures, we address the question, do internist ratings of physicians predict clinical and patient survey-based quality of care measures for patients in this group? And after we investigate that, we sort of investigate a separate and related question is, more generally, can patients judge clinically based quality of care they receive? So the second question speaks to the potential of the internet, in essence, to inform patients as to the quality of care they're getting. Our physician sample includes nearly 1,300 internists who completed a hypertension or diabetes chronic condition practice improvement module. And they did that to fulfill the American Board of Internal Medicine's 10-year maintenance of certification requirement. So obviously all these doctors were 10 years past their residency program. So they're kind of experienced doctors. And we did the searches in 2011 and 2012. And altogether, for those doctors in our sample, 58% of them completed a hypertension PIM, and 42% completed a diabetes PIM, and 65% were general internists, and 35% of them further subspecialized. So I bet everybody in the question, is there any doctors in the audience? I know there's one up here who knows. Is there any doctors in the audience? So did you do a PIM? Or are you grandfathered out of that requirement?
I'm actually grandfathered out, but I do it anyway.
You did it anyway, good for you. There's like five of you. So you're a really small group. But these are modules that internists have to complete. And they give feedback regarding the quality of care they actually deliver, and they guide them through a practice improvement exercise. So just to be clear, there's no incentive for doctors to cherry pick patients or any of that because they're not being judged based on the data that they enter in these practice improvement modules. These are just to give them feedback. The quality of care metrics that are applied in these modules are nationally recognized metrics from chart abstractions and patient surveys. For these diabetic and hypertension PIMs, on average, physicians completed 25 chart abstractions and collected 25 patient surveys. Altogether, they collected data on over 32,000 patients. So it's a lot of patients. Let me just give you a sense for the kind of data items that we use to construct our quality measures. So you can see in this chart that we have data items ranging from intermediate outcome measures to process of care measures, and finally, to patient survey-based quality measures, one of which is patient's overall satisfaction of care, and one of which is related to self-care support. So applying those individual items, we constructed the following quality of care measures. The first is a composite that's mostly comprised of the chart-based measures, with a few of the patient-based measures also applied. Taking that as a starting point, we also constructed a composite that only included the chart-based measures, as well as a composite just of process of care measures, and a composite just of outcome measures. We also applied two individual outcome measures that were in both of those PIMS, and that's share of your patients with blood pressure under control and share with LDL controlled. From the patient survey, as I said before, we have two measures. That's percent of your patients that rate you very good or excellent and percent of your patients that report very good or excellent self-care support. So those are our two patient-reported outcomes. In terms of the data we obtained from those web searches, we limited the searches to 8 health-based websites. Now, to be clear, we expanded this to 15 sites, including non-health-based websites like Yelp. When we did that, those websites basically had very few hits and were very low in the Google search. So everything you see here would not change one iota if we included those in our search. We thought of kind of two strategies. Who's a person that looked on the web? I'm sort of curious. When you looked on the web, what website did you look at? Did you look at the first one on the Google search? You know, you do a Google search, there's a list, boom, 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 boom. We presume that I always look on the first and get data from that whenever I'm doing searches. You didn't do that?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
No, I looked at the Google results and looked for stars. So if I see a star rating, I'll click on it.
So you looked at anyone with stars?
Well,
did you look at the first one with stars? We shouldn't have a big interview about it, but I assumed that there's two strategies. One strategy is you're going to look at the first one, where you see a star, you see a patient review, or you look at all of them. We actually did a sensitivity where we just looked at the first two on the list. But again, that didn't matter. Then we took the web ratings, those stars, and we normalized them. And the way we normalized them, we took the stars that physician got, and we divided that by the maximum number of stars. So if you saw 5 stars as the maximum, and a particular physician got 4, their normalized score would be 80%. And as you can see, the average normalized score is just above 80%. Now, let me just give you a quick sense of the data we gathered. Overall, 61% of the doctors in our samples had a web review. The average number of views in terms of that first website, so on the website, the average that it was based on was just above 6, slightly less when you look at all websites. And again, the average normalized rating was 42%. By far, the most common site was Health Grades, representing 80% of the first Google searches. Okay, So to bring it all together, to bring back our patient, the web ratings and our quality metrics, bring that all together in a predictive model, we ran the following regression. We regressed the PIM quality measure against the normalized web rating, specialty type, and PIM patient type. I know there's people out in the audience that are saying, why didn't you risk adjust? Well, we did risk adjust, but we were sort of had an internal debate about which to put as the base case. Because on one hand, risk adjustment is good because you want to compare similar populations. On the other hand, it might be bad because we all know that certain populations receive lower quality of care than other populations, and we didn't want to control that away. So our dependent variable in these models is always bounded by 1 and 0. Recognizing that, we estimated that model using a GLM with a log length. Our measure of association was the association between a 20% change in the normalized web score and our quality of care measure. So that's equivalent to a 1-star difference. So if you're comparing two doctors, one has 4 stars, one has 5 stars, this measure of association will give you a sense of what that 1-star difference means. So the big question is, do online ratings predict quality of care? And the answer to that question is, well, not really, but looking at the first website measure, the only results that were statistically significant were the association between the normalized web score and the two patient satisfaction measures. But as you can see, the associations were really small, indicating that a 20% change, or that 1-star difference, just indicated a 1.5 percentage point difference in the share of one's patients that rated them very good or excellent. So if you had 100, two doctors had 100 patients, it'd be like one, maybe two more patients gave them that high satisfaction ranking. So quite a small association, but still statistically significant. But no association with any of the chart-based measures of quality. When we included all websites, we basically got a very similar result, except the association that I just mentioned, the patient satisfaction associations, just became smaller. When we risk adjusted, we got almost identical results. So then we examine the sensitivity of our analysis to the number of reviews. And you can see here that in terms of the patient satisfaction measures, all the action is in websites where you had greater than or equal to 4 reviews per doctor. So that indicates that more reviews gives you, at least in terms of the patient satisfaction measures, more information. That's not surprising. But still, again, never getting anything with the chart measures. So what do we find so far? We found small associations between web ratings and the patient-based measures of quality, but no association between the consumer-generated web ratings and the chart-based measures. So you're probably a lot of physicians think that, well, patients just are not good judges of those measures of quality. So that's a fundamental problem with looking at reviews of doctors on the web. So to investigate that question, what we did was we took our patient-based survey measures and we converted them to a normalized metric. So those were all based on a 1 to 5 Likert scale. So we pretended those were like stars on a, so like what if ABIM put all these things on the web and converted those things to stars? And then we ran our regressions again. And what we found was that the associations were actually both statistically significant across the chart measures and clinically significant. So it suggested that, for example, a 20%, sort of that 1-star change now, was associated with a nearly 12% improvement in that PIM composite. This is in terms of the total care satisfaction, and nearly a 10% percentage point increase in the share of your patients with LDL under control. So that suggests that patients, maybe they're not perfect at it, but patients do have an ability to detect these clinical-based measures of quality. And all this held up whether we risk-adjusted or we didn't risk-adjust. So like any study, our study has limitations. The PIM-based measures of quality are not perfect. So for example, I'd love to see a measure of quality that looked at how a doctor caused your health to improve. All these are static measures. And that's why, the risk adjustment might be necessary. Also, the patient-physician population might not generalize, because these are doctors that participated in these PIMs. And but the strengths of our study are that we think this is a really important patient population. We think our the way we looked up doctors' reviews and captioned the data is very realistic. And that the PIM quality measures, even though I said they're not the greatest, they're the ones that everybody uses, so they're still pretty good. So in conclusions, we found that online physician ratings are pervasive, that web ratings have some association between patient survey-based measures of quality in a practice, but those associations are very small. We found no evidence that web ratings were related to clinical measures of quality. I guess the bright side is we found no evidence that there was that they were biased, but nonetheless, we didn't really find anything there. However, we did find evidence that there was a potential for patient ratings to inform quality. And that potential was born both in terms of the number, when we increased the number of reviews, the associations got stronger that we did have. And that last finding where we compared patient survey-based measures of quality to the chart-based measures. So that's the end of my...
Yeah. Great. Any clarifying questions? I have a question.
Yeah.
Some of these rating sites require you to register and reveal your name and email address. And I'm wondering if that would affect the results in any way if you were to remove those from the
Well, that's a separate question that other studies have addressed, and that's kind of how different websites gather information. What we were interested in from the consumer's perspective to see what information they would get. So it was more about, not about entering, but pulling out. The ones that you're talking about, they tended to be, at one point in time, they were fairly popular. I'm trying to remember the name of one in particular that some of the colleagues in our study looked at. But now they're super far down on the Google search. So they're actually not used very much, at least in terms of getting information. I don't know if that answers your question, but...
Yeah. Question. Did I understand right that were the PIM patients just the diabetes or hypertension?
Yes, yes.
Those patients could only really represent those two chronic diseases.
But that's the point of the survey. That's why we said we're going to say, what if one of those patients had gone to the web and
right.
we want to see how it related to what they actually did.
Right.
So this is really talking. But the,
well,
you know, I think that's
the
actually...
patient that wasn't one of those patients went to the web.
Right, if it was another type of how generalizable is
that. Right.
But to be honest, I think that patient population is so important. It might be more important than another population.
Sure, sure.
Like if I went to the web.
There's no way to say, yeah, what the
there.
Average patient is.
Yeah, yeah. But that's why this was definitely for those, assuming that it, yeah.